You are listening to Reverend Dr. Rob White from Athens Universal Life Church.
This week, we're going to look at the reliability and purpose of the Bible. Signpost 3 says, what you believe about the Bible determines how you live your life. If you think the Bible is true, then you have a perfect and infallible roadmap for life. If you don't think the Bible is true, then you have to go out on your own and come up with a map of how to live. It's week 3. It's about time we take a look at the Word.
Now, some books are fiction, like Tom Sawyer, Great Expectations, or Gone with the Wind. Other books are nonfiction, like The Diary of Anne Frank, or Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And some are best classified as fables or fantasies, like C.S. Lewis's Chronicles of Narnia, or J.R.R. Tolkien's Lord of the Rings. But fact, fiction, or fable, which one of these does the Bible fall into? Now, some people believe it's fact. They believe everything it says, even the supposedly outrageous stuff like a prophet being swallowed by a large fish or a man walking on water, and others think it's fiction, or mostly so, a collection of stuff that people made up over the years, kind of the way Walt Disney made up Mickey Mouse. And a good many people think that there's some truth in there, but it's in a form of a fable or a myth. It's not meant to be believed the way you believe a traffic report or a wedding announcement or maybe your Aunt Myrtle's pasta recipe or something like that. So that's what we're here to discuss, which is it, fact, fiction, or fable? Now, we're in the midst of a series of studies from God's Word, the Bible, called God Quest, a multifaceted journey of discovery that we are sharing during our worship times when we're not in our normal worship area at the assisted living facility. And we're also doing this in small groups, in youth and children's programs. And there's some individual lives doing this as well. Now, the first thing I want to suggest to you, based not on my primitive imagination, but on careful research and thorough investigation, is this. I can believe that the Bible was recorded faithfully. Now, there are three things that suggest, they cannot prove, but they do suggest that the writings contained in the Bible were accurately recorded. Now, there's the claim to proximity. Now, that's just a fancy way of saying that many of the biblical writers claim that they were eyewitnesses or they have talked to eyewitnesses. You see, many ancient writings adhered only loosely to the facts of the events that was reported. Some highly regarded authors of the ancient world, for example, report events that took place many years before they were born, in a country they never even visited. And while their writing may be factual, largely factual, historians admit that greater credibility must be granted to the writers, who are both geographically and chronologically close to the events that they report. Now, the New Testament writers claimed this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim. That's in 1 John 1:1. In 2 Peter 1:16, they said, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And then again in Acts 10:39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. And those are just a few of the many examples out there. But some people have said there was no way that Peter and Paul and others could have been the authors of the Bible books that bear their names because, well, they say these books were written long after their lifetimes. But no less a scholar than Dr. John A.T. Robinson, a lecturer at Trinity College in Cambridge, one of England's most distinguished scholars, accepted that view, but as little more than a theological joke. He says that he decided to investigate the arguments on dating of the biblical books, a field largely dormant since the turn of the century. Now, the result stunned him and caused him to conclude that the New Testament is the work of the apostles themselves or of contemporaries. Now, there's also the invitation to investigation. The New Testament writers in particular not only said, look, we saw this or we heard that, but they were also so confident as to say, in effect, check it out. Ask around. You know as well as I do. A liar will insist on the truth of what he's saying, but only a fool will invite you to investigate what he knows can be quickly proven false. Then there's the scarcity of apparent contradictions. Now, I know many people believe that the Bible is just chock full of errors and contradictions. And to be fair, there are apparent discrepancies. There are some passages in the Bible that make us scratch our heads. But the writings of 40 vastly different human beings, shepherds, soldiers, prophets, poets, kings, scholars, statesmen, musicians, masters, servants, tax collectors, and tent makers could be assembled into one book, yet retain such unity and such scarcity of apparent contradictions is one of the reasons to believe that the Bible was faithfully recorded. But wait, there's more. We're just getting warmed up. I can be confident that the Bible was relayed accurately. You see, even if the Bible was crystal clean when it was recorded, that was a long time ago. What we read today are printed copies based on ancient handwritten copies of yet other copies of the original. So who's to say that a copier didn't omit some stuff? What if things were changed? Is there a reason to believe that the manuscripts available to us today are accurate transmissions of the originals? Now, the God Quest book and group studies that we've been enjoying together go into much greater detail than we have time for right now. But let me say this, that no book or document of the ancient world can be as verified accurate as the Bible can. One of the most astounding proofs of this was the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Listen to what one of the characters in the novel, The Quest, says. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered in 1947. Until that time, the oldest complete manuscript of the Hebrew Scriptures dated to about AD 900, roughly 1,300 years after the last Old Testament prophet wrote. But the Dead Sea Scrolls were dated to about 125 BC. So the Dead Sea Scrolls were about 1,000 years older than the manuscript scholars and translators had been using up to that time. But get this. Once the Dead Sea Scrolls were translated and compared with modern versions, the Hebrew Bible proved to be identical word for word in more than 95% of the text. And what differences they did find were mainly spelling variations. Now, what that discovery did was to show that after 1,000 years of copying, the text as it appeared in modern Bibles was almost exactly the same letter for letter, mark for mark, as it had been written 3,000 years ago. So, we have every reason to believe that the Bible was recorded faithful, and we may be supremely confident that it was relayed accurately. Any fair-minded person examining the reliability of any historical document will want to know if other historical material confirms or denies what the document says. In other words, is what the Bible says verified in other sources? And the answer is yes. For example, the New Testament alone is so extensively quoted in the ancient manuscripts of non-biblical authors that all 27 books from Matthew through Revelation could be reconstructed virtually word for word from those sources. Not only Christian, but also non-Christian historians, like the first century Roman historian Tacitus and the Jewish historian Josephus, confirm the substance of scriptural accounts. In addition, archaeology has repeatedly confirmed the accuracy of the Bible. Over and over again through the centuries, presumptive conclusions about inaccuracies and contradictions in the Bible have been discredited when archaeology has confirmed the biblical account. To choose just one example, Sir William Ramsay, a geographer and archaeologist, was a student in the German historical school of the mid-19th century. As a result, he was firmly convinced that the Book of Acts was a product of the mid-2nd century AD, long after the eyewitnesses were dead and gone, and in his research to make a topographical study of Asia Minor. However, he was compelled to consider the writings of Luke and ended up completely reversing his beliefs about Acts due to the overwhelming evidence uncovered in his research. This sort of thing has happened over and over through the years, to the point where Nelson Gluck, the renowned Jewish archaeologist and the former president of Hebrew University in Cincinnati, wrote, "It may be stated categorically that no archaeological discovery has ever controverted a biblical reference." So, there's every reason to believe that the Bible has been recorded faithfully, relayed accurately, and reinforced externally. But none of that matters if it is not responded to appropriately, because the Bible was intended to prompt a response. And that's why John, one of Jesus' earliest followers, explained his reason for writing what has become the fourth gospel, the fourth book of the New Testament. He says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." That's John 20, verse 31. Now the Bible is an ancient document, and there's no question about that. The Bible is a textually accurate work, more so than any other book in history, and the Bible is also historically reliable as a record. But ultimately, none of that matters if it doesn't open a door to faith for you. If you're here today and you're rejecting this book without reading it, let me urge you to read just 2% of it, the whole Gospel of John, 22 chapters, before you dismiss it. It's the fourth book of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you can read that much without hearing a ring of truth, then at least you won't have made the mistake of reaching a conclusion without investigation. If you haven't yet taken that step of faith, if you haven't called out to the God who through his language is heavenly and his every word is eternal, condescended to express himself within the crude limitations of human language, like a master architect stacking building blocks on the floor with a child so that you could know him, his forgiveness, his love, his bright purpose for your life, you can do that right now. If you choose, by praying silently right where you're sitting, as I pray, "God, here I am. Thank you for reaching out to me and giving me your word. I ask your forgiveness and accept your son's sacrifice in exchange for all the wrong things I've done. I turn my life over to your control and ask you to take charge from now on. In Jesus' name, amen." Now, if you prayed that prayer, the Bible says you're a totally new creation and a brand new follower of Jesus Christ. I would welcome the opportunity to talk to you and pray with you anytime. Just go to our webpage at www.aulc.us. That's www.aulc.us. And click on Contact Us and get a hold of me. I'd be glad to the opportunity to talk with you. Finally, if you're here today and you're believing this book, calling it the Word of God even, but you're not reading it and letting it change your life, you're missing the whole point. It's not Dickens. It's not USA Today. It wasn't given to you for information. It was written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. So let's pray, all of us together, this. God, thank you for your word and for your providential, even miraculous care that has created it and preserved it for me. Save me from the mistake of not reading it. Save me from the mistake of reading it without letting it change me, without letting it draw me closer to you. Help me to read your word as to know you more. In Jesus' precious name, amen. That's our Lord's message for this week, and I hope that you got a blessing out of it. Tune in more every week for more great sermons. We've got three more of this series to go, and we'll finish it out. And so I want to thank you for joining us today. Look for us again next week. And you can always find us online at www.aulc.us. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next week. Go out this week, be a blessing, and be blessed, because the more you're a blessing, the more you will be blessed. Thank you.